What's my
Hachag.
Rabbi,
Shehiyah Surah, right? So the sukkah on it literally means shavin, equal, right? The sukkah of the holiday to the holiday that it is prohibited. Okay. V'im. Okay, here's the key thing. If I make, what's a tanai? A condition. So if I make a condition, right, on the sukkah, the condition works. Okay, there's an opening to make a condition. Now, what is this talking about? So let's understand. We're talking about the area of huksa. We said this, remember last time? Muksa, huksa. Huksa means designation. So a person is able to make a tanai, a condition, on said object to prevent a designation from expressing itself. Does everyone understand that? Okay, now what is that? Okay, watch. Actually, before we get to that, more of it takes a little bit of a interesting question. Umi mahani ba tanai. Go. What does that mean? Okay. Who says the tanai works? How could the tanai work here? Right? Again, we don't know what tanai is yet. How could the tanai work? Keep going. Minayan. So Rav Shesha says the name of Rav Akiva. How do you know that what? Atse Sukkah. What are Atse Sukkah? What's eights? Good. Here we'll say branches, right? Sukkah? Interesting you thought roof, by the way. No, that's not bad, actually. Most people learn it that way. But anyway, how do you know, we'll learn that way. How do you know the branches, the roof, we don't have to learn this way, but just make it simple, of the sukkah is prohibited in benefiting from it all 7 days? What that means is, let's say I went ahead, my schach, okay? Whether you want to say it's the roof of the hut or the schach of the sukkah, once it's on there, can I take the palm branch off and use it to hit Weiss over the head with him? No, right? Can't do that, right? No. That's different. But not on the structure itself. Yeah. By the way, I always have one designated. That's a separate issue. Okay, go on. Position MR. La Hashem. Right, oh, stop. All right, that's just sent a little bit of a shiver up and down your spine. Because the Torah says, the holiday of Sukkot, 7 days for God. Now, La Hashem here means that this structure is for God. Yikes. Okay. Now, this is a great example of taking something that sounds a lot like philosophy, and I'm sure a pulpit rabbi can spend hours talking about this, translate that into halacha. Okay? Halacha. All right? Hektish. Oh, no. We don't know anything about hektish yet. What? One second. We don't know about hektish yet. What? Well, okay, good. All right, look at Rashi. Lashem. Mashma. Right, so it's implied, right? Mashma means implied, right? That what? That all 7 days, it is hektish, okay? It is, let's say, designated for God, sure. But, okay, so if you're going to learn that way, you don't have to learn Rashi that way. If you want to learn that way. Now keep going back to the Gemara.
It's implied that it sounds like a korban because...
I know you want to learn that way. Couples. Go, Vitanya.
Well, but meaning it makes sense when they're comparing it.
But you could learn them separate. Okay, go, Vitanya. There's another brisa that says.
Vitanya, Rabbi Yehuda, Ben,
Becerra, Omer. Good. Keshekashem. Yeah, Shechal. Kath. Okay, so the same way, literally, the name of God, or the designation of heaven, the heavenly designation, falls on a Korban Chagiga, so too it falls on your Sukkah. How do you know that? Because Tamil Omer, it says, Chag HaZukos Shivasamim LaHashem, right? Ma Chag LaHashem, now, Ma Chag LaHashem, meaning Chagiga, right? That sacrifice is for God. Keep in mind, by the way, it's not really, it's not an Ola. So we say the Chagiga is for God. It's not like an Ola sacrifice, which is really for God. So we got to be careful what we mean here by Chagiga. It's La Hashem. So too, right? Sukkah La Hashem. Right? So, okay, so the second statement in the Gemara is that the same way that a Chagiga is La Hashem, right? So too, the Sukkah is La Hashem. All right, look at Rashi. Ala Chagiga. Shalmei. Misha Hukdashu. Right, so this is a very important point. The Korban Chagiga, which by the way, any Korban, the moment I designate it for the temple, what happens to the status of the Korban? It's Usser. That's what I care about. Usser. Meaning, what can't I do with this object? All right, you have a cow, you bring it to the temple, you say, this cow now is going to be a sacrifice. What happens to this? I cannot, what? I no backseas, which means that animal now has only one usage, korban. If I do anything else with it, I'm over nisser. So whatever applies by there should apply to sukkah as well. Right, so that applies to sukkah. Now, you could learn that these two opinions aren't arguing with each other. You could learn this, that the first guy is saying chag l'Hashem, right? You could learn the first guy saying that it's, that's La Hashem, and it's Hektish, and Korban Hektish, and that's the same Hektish as here. You could. Or you could also learn that they're not arguing, but highlighting different points. Okay? Because it is two Brises. So you still have to answer that. Why is the Gemara, again, if our premise is the Gemara doesn't waste ink, so why is that both? And are they really saying the same thing? Right? One's just saying it's for God. The other one's saying it's like the Korban Chagiga. So not quite the same.
So it's two different laws,
right? No. Conceptually, nafkamina. Practically, zero nafkamina. Both of them are going to agree. What? So, one way to learn is very simple. There's, how is this comparable to a korban? It's two different institutions, right? Yes, of course, bylaws, da da da. I'm not disputing that. I just want this to stick within huksa. Because knowing about huksa, an object that's huksa never changes the object itself. Normally by muksa, right? If I have this water bottle, right? So how does muksa normally work? So it's got 1,000 utilities, right? And then what happens is I isolate one of the utilities, right? That's how it works. But not sukkah. Sukkah is a different kind of huksa. It's a new kind of huksa, which is that it transforms into an achatsa. My water bottle through muksa has not become a chatsa. It's still a water bottle. It just has a specific utility. But not by the side of holes like korban is saying, just like a korban takes an animal, which I can use for every purpose I want to, and transforms it into a whole new object. Because of what you're saying, the bylaws of God said, what?
Aren't you the one doing that by chagiga?
Forget it. I don't care the fact that you're doing it. The question is, the mechanism's the same. It doesn't matter how it comes about.
What's the mechanism?
The mechanism is that taking objects now no longer being normal muksa, but new kind of muksa.
Which is new,
it's a completely different chafsa. The chafsa's very definition is La Hashem. That means there is no, there, it's a whole new type of object.
Isn't that every chafsa?
By the way, now if you want to learn Rav Sheshis is arguing, what you could say is that he's saying, it's not that it's a new, because he doesn't compare it to korban. So I'd argue, it doesn't mean it's a new chafsa. Rather what? Rather, what does La Hashem mean?
It's just the purpose of this utility.
Imagine this object has a multiple utilities, so what do I do on Shabbos? I isolate one, right? But it doesn't mean the other ones are erased. La Hashem means? They don't exist anymore. There's only one utility. But there's a conceptual difference between saying exclusive utility versus new object. Not every chafsa shal misa has that designation. You shall see, my friend. Well, I know, I'm cheating because I went ahead. Yeah, that Srogim's one, but the Rochayim. Rochayim is Amar Rav Menashe Berei D'Rava.
Okay, Amar Rav Menashe Berei D'Rava.
Oh, a second. So why is this a question? So what do you mean? How could you make a Tanai on any part of the sukkah? That's impossible. Because if you're telling me the sukkah is, well, you want to say a chefsa shal mitzvah, or it has an exclusive utility, whatever you want to say about it, at the end of the day, right, how can I go ahead and make a Tanai on the thing? I can't make a Tanai on any part of the sukkah that I'm going to prevent it from the Kedusha virus hitting it. It doesn't work that way. Masks won't help over here. And why should it make any difference? You see that the sukkah is kadosh, or we'll use Ellie's beautiful philosophical term, God owns it. So I can make a Tanai on God's ownership? That's impossible, right? Okay.
Well, it's
okay. What?
Sukkah, the alma of all sukkah,
the mitzvah.
Lo
Mahana Batana. No. So when it comes to a regular hut, so then a Tanai could work. Okay? But not by the Sukkah Shal Mitzvah. Okay? Not by the Sukkah Shal Mitzvah. Now, let's push a little further now. Okay? So what do we... Now we've transitioned from our hut into our Sukkah Shal Mitzvah. So meaning I can make a Tanai on my regular hut. Why not? Right? You could argue there's a Havmin here, but I'm saying, but of course I can. Why can't I make it? I can make a Tanai on my regular hut.
So we're throwing out the
No, what do you mean? Oh, one second. That's the whole issue between Rashi and the Ran. Okay, but for now, I know, it's very troubling how Rashi's going to learn. But for now, the Gemara is saying, let's leave the, simple way of learning, let's leave the area of hut and now go into Sukkah Shal Mitzvah. One second. So now when it comes to Sukkah Shal Mitzvah, you're telling me Tanai doesn't work. Really? But one second. Sukkah the Mitzvah lo. So is that true that by the Sukkah Shal Mitzvah I can't make a Tanai? Let's keep going, Aryeh. The hot Tanya. All right, so I made a kosher sukkah. And then what did I do? Bikramim. All right, so I'll make it simple. So you can skip a couple words. I decorate it, okay? Like we do today. Yeah, so the guy decorates his sukkah. So now, skip ahead to where it says, all these fancy decorations, by the way, wines and oils, right? Asur lehistapek mehen. Right, keep going. Shachag. By the way, if we had more time, we could always take up that issue of Shmini Atzeres, but that's not our sukkah. Okay, so when I put up those decorations, right? If I put up the decorations on my sukkah, okay? And now when I use the word sukkah now, well, like the Ron, when I use sukkah, I mean the halachic sukkah. When I put up my decorations, so what happens? So they become part fancy. They become, how do you know they're batel?
You want me to say Rashi, or you want me to say, like, definitionally?
Okay, no, I want definitionally. But okay, anyway, so what happens? So the decorations are part of the sukkah, right? So the same way the sukkah is La Hashem and Kadosh, so too the decorations. However, Im Hisnalam... Stop. So if I go ahead and do what? If I go ahead and make a Tanai that before Benesh Mashos, that I'm going to go ahead and use my decorations, so what's going to happen? Then the decorations do not become kadosh, all right? So I have this amazing thing I can do, all right? I can't do that. I can't do that with the walls. I can't do that with the schach, but I can do that with the decorations. I can go ahead before chag starts and say, those decorations are, I'm making condition, are not, I'm going to use them for hitting Weiss, okay? And that works. So obviously, okay, one second. So the Gemara says, let's go a little further. The Gemara says, one second, is that true? So now we got a good kasha. Because we see a case now by Sukkah de Mitzvah, where what can I do? I can go ahead and make a Tanai on the Sukkah Shal Mitzvah. So what? Well, one second. But here's the thing. But if it works for the... Okay, we have two extremes here, right? If it works for the decorations, maybe it could work for the Sukkah also. So the Gemara doesn't want to go that far. See, there's two extremes, right? That no Tanai works, or Tanai works all the way. Just one more line. So the Gemara now, of course, says, Abaye v'rava d'amr
t'shavayu.
Aini.
Yeah. Nahem.
Delochala kedusha layo. So when it comes to decorations, what I can say is I can say when the chag starts, right? I have the right to say that the kedusha that normally the God's ownership kedusha that emanates from God onto my sukkah, I could stop that applied to the decorations. Okay. But when it comes to Atzei Sukkah, when it comes to the actual, let's say, Schach, for instance, the Chala Kedusha Layo, right, is Skatzei L'Shiva. You can't get out of that. Once Sukkah starts, it will envelop the entire structure of the Sukkah. Right? Now again, so that's part of the question. So that's exactly the point of the question here. In other words, how do we look at the... Now, okay, one second. One more point, and then we'll stop. Okay? Then we can explain. So Rashi, I don't care why. It's an excellent question. And a lot of the Rishonim and a lot of Achronim kill Rashi for this. Rashi learns this entire case through the lens of Stira. Meaning, what's the issue? The issue is like this. It's Pesach. I have a hut. Okay? Everyone agrees that I can't make a condition on, let's say, the roof of the hut. I can't say before Pesach starts, the roof of the hut's not really part of the hut. That you can't do. But what I could do is, I could say if I hang up my sneakers, right, on the roof, or whatever, a decoration on the roof, so then my Tanai can prevent it from being part of the structure, and then Stira would not apply. So I can go ahead and take the fruits I hung up on this hut roof off. Whereas the Ron learns, no, we're talking about the sukkah of sukkahs. And therefore, I'm really cheating out of here, but therefore, I'm making life easier for you. Therefore, since it's a sukkah of sukkahs, right? So if I don't make the tanai on the decorations, so then what happens? They become batel to the kedusha of the sukkah. But I can make a tanai on them. So either way you go, okay? There's a havi and a maskana.
They're using the terms equivocally?
I'll give one summary, and that's it, okay? Rashi holds this, Rashi frames it in stira. So, I have a hut. It's Pesach time, okay? Before Pesach starts, I hang up some decorations. So everyone agrees that if I make a condition on the roof of the hut, it wouldn't work. The roof is stira would apply. But I can make a condition on the decorations. And if I make that condition, so then what would happen? If I make the condition, what would happen? It won't be stira. So I could take it off during Chag, okay? Which is weird. Why should that matter? We should just go by the fact that it's attached to it structurally. And this is not like which case. It's not like which case.
The wall.
Very good. It's not like the beam leaning on the wall. It can't be. See, this is, I give Rashi credit because this is like, there's one missing gap here that we didn't answer, right? We had the beam leaning on the wall. We had the pieces of the roof, right? Now we have this case. This case fits snugly in between those two. The Ron says, no, the Ron says we're talking about the halachic sukkah. So therefore, I cannot make a tanai in the schach of the walls. But I can make a tanai on the decorations. And therefore, before Chag starts, I can go ahead and say decorations are not part of the sukkah. So the Havamina would be what? What would the Havamina be?
That they're part of the mitzvah of sukkah decorations.
In both cases, the tanai doesn't work. What's tanai, right? That's what's very hard to define here.
Tanai does work.
No, but why should it? Seeing the Havamina be like, it doesn't work.
Well, because it's just a
key. In and of itself, it's not important. In and of itself, it's not important. It's only through what we're going to call a referential relationship that it produces a sense of importance. That apple has no importance whatsoever, right? No, but when I go ahead and what do I do with the apple? By attaching it to the sukkah, it's referring to something else, right? Think of an example like that in normal halakhic practice. The Torah cover has no value halakhically in and of itself, right? What? It's only because it's there, it's serving the chetzah shel mitzvah. So that's a referent. What? The point, what I'm trying to say is that the kedusha stems from a different source, right? By chetzah shel mitzvah, the kedusha is intrinsic. Here, it's only kaddish because of
it's
a referential relationship.
Exactly.
It's a relational. That referential means that. It's a relational kedusha. Relationship kedusha. Okay? That's easy. That's the Ron. Okay?
Wait.
It's interesting. When I attach the decoration to the sukkah, yeah. Right? Let's go back to one of our original chakiras. Let me finish. Go back to one of our original chakiras, right? So from a structural standpoint, how do I differentiate the decorations from the structure itself? I can't. So when the kedusha comes, what does it do? It envelops everything. That's why the Ron would say if I added something to the wall, that kedusha would affect that.
It's a bad argument.
Or do I say no? Since this thing is referential, right? What's it doing? It doesn't exist in a vacuum. It's decorating something. A decoration is never considered decoration until what? Until it's in a functional role. You have a hole in your wall. Right, so what do? You put up like some wooden boards, okay?
That's repairing it. That's different than like just like putting it on the side, like you're just holding it there.
I understand. Right? One second. No. Maybe it's the same thing. In other words, assuming the wall's functional without that wood there, okay? The reason I'm saying is it looks different. That's why I want to focus on that. It looks different, right? So now, what have I done? Either
it's part eccentric, part of the wall.
Okay, so the wall, because the wall's always subject to what?
Addition.
Right, in other words, you can always do that. You can always add more to a wall, more to a roof, more to a house, or
change it.
Nope. What's the other way to go? Because if you say that, then it gets subsumed underneath the definition of the wall.
Right, or it's individual and entity, but so it remains identity. It's just functioning.
Right, like it's always discrete. Yeah. Right, because I'm adding to the present object. Meaning, it's a wall that I'm adding something to. Right, so maybe so good. So now, why would that mean? Come on, why would that mean the das could work? It's a little bit different than what we're saying by decorations. There's because the piece of wood itself, right? There's the piece of wood itself, it's ambiguous. You could say it's part of the wall, or you could say it's in addition to the wall. So because of that ambiguity, so the halacha can come along and say that your das is able to prevent it from being part of the wall. Now, of course, you could counter by saying, there's one question you can, it's a good question. The question you can ask is, of course, Stan Das, why do you go A versus B? You could ask that. I'm not terribly bothered by that. You could ask that question, right? Because you could say Stam Das is, it's not part of the wall. But I don't know. I can squeeze out of that. That doesn't bother me so much. But I think that's what Rashi's dealing with. Rashi's saying that Das can work here because when I attach that piece of wood to the wall, it's ambiguous what it is. Is it an addition to the wall, right? Or is it part of the wall?
It's just a little hard to say.
Okay, now let's bring it into... This is fascinating. My schnob, one second. You're going to tell me now that what? That... Very good. I can make it tonight in the Atzei Sukkah, right? I can make it tonight, but I can't make it tonight in the Sukkah itself. I can't say that the Schach, right? Kedusha doesn't apply to the Schach. That's absurd, I guess. So the Gemara says, really, Maishna?
Maishna,
Ditzmar.
Ditzmar, Haprish, Shiva,
Esrogan.
Esrogan.
Hayaman. Great case. What does the guy do? He buys 7 Esrogan. Right, he says, now you can learn it a little bit. There's a little, some ways you can learn it. Let's learn it simple. What does a guy do? He buys 7 esrogim, one for each day. Now, but again, there's two ways you can learn it. Is he buying 7 esrogim
for
7 days? Or is he saying, that's Sunday's esrog, that's Monday's esrog, that's Tuesday's esrog? There is a difference between the two, right? Okay, but I'm not so, whatever. But I'm saying, there's that's a nuance, but it's important. Okay.
What's the difference?
Oh, it's a big difference.
When it comes to hooks, that's Monday, that's
Tuesday. I know. That's how I read it first. I know. Okay. Go on.
Okay. Amar Rav called.
Achas v'achas.
Achas v'achas. It's
the Ochel Alter. Beautiful. So, Weiss picks up Monday, at day one. Actually, by the way, Evan agrees this doesn't work on the first day of Chag. Okay? I have to tell you that to be as honest. Okay? But let's put that to the side. So, it's the third day of Chol HaMoed. Okay? So Weiss picks up his day 3, right? Yeah. Right. No, I should say four. It's day 4. His day 4 Esrog, okay?
On what day?
So on day 3, the fourth day of Sukkot. Okay. No, I don't want to, it's already just a confusing Sukkot to begin with. So what does he do? He wakes up in the morning, he wakes up at Hanetz, right? Doesn't damage one Esrog at Hanetz, because Shita Hold, he says, eat your Esrog. Which kind of, again, kind of makes sense in the sense that, okay, well, I used up my day 4 Esrog for its purpose, I should be able to eat it. What the other side says, Rav Asi Amar. Hey, go on, go on.
Rav Asi.
No, the Machar. So no, after Eli does his Netilas Lulav on day 4, he has to wait until nighttime, okay? Now, we'll come back to the Machlokas, okay? But what's the key point? So the Gemara says, keep going. But why is that a good question? The question is very good. So I don't understand, how could it be a sukkah's hooks up for 7 days?
This isn't.
Because what can happen at night? Let's assume according to the more machmir shita. I pick up my esrog on day 4, right? I have my day 5 esrog ready. So if day four ends, day 5 begins, but what should happen to this esrog?
It should still be
huksa. Very good. It should be huksa on the mitzvah. I should be able to use it, right? Kamashwan, I can. Why? Hasam demafsiku lelos miyamim. Keep going. Each day is its own mitzvah, right? Hacha. Miyamim. Good. Kulu yome. Kichada. Arechta. Beautiful. So what's the difference? It's too obvious of a difference. That's the problem here. The Maskana clearly beats out the Havamina. Because what's it saying? Saying like this. In other words, Sukkos is a continuum, right? Right? Meaning, how does Sukkos work? I'm chayev to be in my... I had to live in my Sukkah for 7 days. There's no day-night. There's just simply 24 times 7, right? That's cute. Okay. Like 24-7. Get it? Okay.
25-7.
Right. Whereas by Esrog, what happens by Esrog? Esrog's only mitzvah per day. Meaning, what happens by Esrog? And there's no mitzvah to pick up Esrog at night, right? It's created every day. So since it's an interruption, so it's not the same thing. That seems like a pshita answer. No? Or not?
So that's
does it seem obvious? Why would you think there's... How can we make it... What's the goal in the Havmini here? The goal should be, in other words, how would you make it that I agree that Esrog has the same Kedusha as Sukkah, even though I only pick up Esther during the day. How would that work in the Havamina? Easy, right? Like a patur, okay? There's just two ways you can formulate the mitzvah of esrog, right? You can say, if the mitzvah of esrog is like sukkah, you could say, I have to pick up an esrog every 7 days. So there's only one thing, though. It's a patur, right? What's the patur? The patur is nighttime, right?
It's not a patur. It's just the zman is not at night.
It doesn't matter.
Well,
I'll tell you why in a second, because I have to press it.
At night. It's just
The other way to go is say, no, that each day is a new mitzvah, right? Okay. Now, what about the machlokas? Fascinating machlokas. Okay? By the way, this is a really difficult machlokas, I think. So you have, what happens after I eat, what after I make, after I pick up my day four esrog, and lulav, obviously, right? So what happens, right? So one side says, enjoy, right? You've done your maisa ha-mitzvah, so now go ahead and eat it. The other side says, no, you got to wait until nighttime. That's a funny, out of curiosity, which side makes more sense on the surface? Yeah. No, see, that's esrog is a funny thing, right? And again, we have precedence galore, right? Matzah, I love precedence.
So,
I do care. You know why? Because often esrog, Chazal are struggling here in a sense. There's two ways you could look at the definition of this object. You could say it's a chafsa shal mitzvah, but if it's a chafsa shal mitzvah, the yom is what produces its status of being a chafsa shal mitzvah, right? Where does the status of being this unique object come from, right? It comes from the yom. Which also means, by the way, when you say it's a chafsa shal mitzvah, that means in it, so to speak, there's certain qualities, right? Like it's a new object altogether. The other possibility is to say, no, that there's just, no, I got to do a maisa mitzvah, right? All right, so you can argue there's certain qualifications that an esrog requires, but it's a conditional idea, though. Its status is conditional because of the maisa mitzvah, right? Now, that makes esrog very similar, for instance, to matzah, okay? To matzah, which is not a chafsa shal mitzvah, right? It's not. It's not really in that sense. But the other way makes esrog much more linked to sukkah, saying if you want to see this application. Maybe, but that's the two ways to learn. Yeah, fine. Okay, good. Okay. I'm not going to start the Rokhayim today. I want to start this machlokes in the Gemara just to give you the framework of what Rokhayim is going to dip into. Okay? So let's just go to the Gemara real quickly. The Rav Chaim's going to bring this up, okay? And I'll give you a little, in 2 minutes, I'll give you a little intro to how Rav Chaim thinks, but just understand. We know there's a principle that in order for the schach to be kosher, right, there's a lot of requirements. One of those requirements is that, we all know this, there has to be more shade than sun, okay? Versus sun than shade, okay? But so chamsa meruba mitzilsa means there's more sun than shade. Okay. So the Gemara says, chamsa meruba mitzilsa psula, so tanar baran. Chamsa machma sichuch v'lo machma stefanos, right? So you things should start rolling as you listen to this, okay? So 1 second. So what I should say is that when we say more sun than shade, that's only a defect in the roof, in the schach, but not a defect in the walls. So again, when I build my sukkah, I can have kosher schach, right? Meaning there's more shade than sun, but my walls could be like very low. We know that. Well, okay, that's a different question. It's a good question, by the way. Let's put that to the side, the transparency. Just make it simple. It's a low wall. Maybe the sun will come through at some point, okay? But it'll be more sun than shade,
yeah.
All right? Okay, so, Rav Yoshia Omer, ach machma stefanos. He's interesting. He says, no. The walls also have to let in more shade than sun. What?
Actually, where they can contribute
to. No, they have to. Meaning, if there's more sun than shade by the walls, your sukkah's puzzle. Your sukkah's puzzle.
What does it mean by the wall there's more sun? Oh,
so let's say, okay, that's a good question of at what point during the day, okay?
Yeah.
Right?
I think it means objectively. If there's more space, then there is not space.
Well, don't worry how you translate it. Forget that. That's not going to be an issue. You're right. I know. Forget that. Forget how you measure it, okay? Forget how you measure it, okay? But that's okay. Now, listen to this. The Gemara says, Amrav Yemar bar shalmei mishmei dabaye, my time of Yoshia. Now, how does he know this, right? I'm just going to help you guys out so you can start working on the Rokhayim tomorrow. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Dixi v'sako sa al aharon es haparuchas, okay? Now, what does the term sichuch mean? Sako sa. What? Who's the Baal Korah here? To cover, right? To cover over, right? But 1 second, parochas mechitza. But 1 second, the parochas was really what? A curtain, right? That's a mechitza. That's a divider, right? The kakari rachmanas tichacha. But nonetheless, the Torah calls it a cover. So he's saying that you see that a wall, I'm not going to define anything right now, the wall normally would be a mechitza, but here it's functioning like a sichuch. So the same quality of covering applies to the walls as well. So corner of Yoshia. Corner of Yoshia. So my wall now has to have the same properties as the schach. Still some room of chamsa. More shade than sun. Okay? Okay, and then the Gemara ends up by understanding how Rabbanan learned the pasuk. Okay. That's so before you learn the Rachaim, define that machlokas. Define that machlokas. Now, that's a machlokas in the Gemara.
Oh, right.
Yeah. In other words, do you say, is the property of more shade than sun a property only of the schach or of the walls as well? Okay.
It seems like we're arguing on the function of the wall.
So what's the issue? Let me just bring up the issue of Rechaim, so this way you can spend all Hachana tomorrow working this machlokas and going through Rechaim. What's Rechaim's issue? So first of all, for those who have not done a Rechaim before, so Rav Chaim, this is a very terse Rav Chaim. It's very short, really short. I think it's one of the shortest ones, okay? It's very short, yeah. I mean, some of them. Rav Chaim will find a discrepancy in the Rambam. In this case, he's going to use the Rush's question on the Rambam, find a discrepancy, which seems to be the most minor, insignificant, unimportant detail imaginable. It's like, who cares? Like, what's the difference? To the point where all these other Achronim give all these like types of answers to help the Rambam out. But Rav Chaim, Rav Chaim will come up with what seems on the surface a word game, a logical like game to solve the problem, right? That's for the layman, okay? What Rav Chaim really does though is he's always introducing a paradigm shift. He's going to teach you an idea that you never saw before about how a certain institution works. That's his goal. So you have to learn how to read beneath what he's saying to get to the point. So what's the issue to help set up for you? To help set up for you so we can spend our time tomorrow working on the Svara? Right, and I'll tell you how to learn the Rechaim. The issue is very simple. The issue is that not very simple. So we paskin in the Gemara that the guys pay attention. We paskin in the Gemara that schach, right, is the so to speak the most important part of the sukkah because the properties, of, for instance, of tumah and more shade than sun apply to the schach. And there's a general idea. The schach is so to speak like the essence of the sukkah. Okay, here's the problem. The Rambam comes along and says that the Atzei Sukkah, right, there's an Isser Hana. I cannot benefit from the Atzei Sukkah. Now, the Rambam is generous. He tells us what are the Atzei Sukkah that's referring both to the Schach and to the walls. So according to the Rambam, I cannot get Hana from the walls, and I cannot get Hana from the Schach. Okay? Right? So the Rush comes along and says, what are you talking about? The Rush says, the Schach's the essence of the Sukkah, so I can't get Hana from the Schach. But the walls aren't. So why can't I get Hana from the walls? What does it mean to say the walls are hooks? What does that mean? What do you mean? That's not what the walls are. So Chaim's going to come along and try to figure out a way to make it work, okay, smoothly, all right? Because he's going to show the Rambam agrees that the schach is the ikker of the sukkah. Nonetheless, somehow, the Isser Hana will apply to the walls. Let me give you one more